Today's daf is Yuma Daf Lamed Zayin, and we are at the Mishnah, 17 lines from the top of Daf Lamed Zayin Amar Aleph. Today's daf is being learned as a Zchus Refuah Shalema. The Shlomo ben Sarah Aliza, Avadya ben Miriam Leah, Moshe Abba ben Devorah, Devorah bas Mecha, Shmuel ben Tehila, Mordechai Tzvi ben Frado, Rafal Yaakov ben Rachel Chava, David ben Shoshana, Rafal Yitzchak Isaac ben Rechama, Miriam bas Sarah Dina, and Menachem Mendel ben Yehudis Chaya. Today's daf is being learned as a Zchus, V'yecheskel Shragi ben Miril, and today's daf is being learned L'Iloi Nishmas Avram, Ben Yibadol L'chaim Toivim, Reb Moshe Chaim. So the Mishnah is moving along, discussing the Avodah on Yom Kippur. The previous Mishnah mentioned the Vidui that the Kohen Gadol said on his par. The Torah says that the Kohen Gadol brought a par, V'chiper Ba'adoi U'Ba'ad Beisoi. And that par, which was a Chatos, would attain kapara for him and for his family. And when he brought the par, he was misvada. It was the first of the three viduyim that the Kohen Gadol used to do. He would be masker the Shem Hashem, ke chsavoy, machloikis, rosh, rafaygoyin, exactly how he did it. He used the word ana. Regardless, the Mishnah is moving along rather quickly and discussing more of the avodah on Yom Kippur. So the viduy that the Kohen Gadol did for his par was Bein Ha'ulam V'Limizbeach. That's where he was situated. Now the Kohen Gadol was going to have to start to travel. Baloi L'Mizrach HaAzara. He moved to the eastern part of the Azara, meaning away from the Mizbeach, away from the Heichal. L'Tzofein HaMizbeach, but he was to the north of the Mizbeach. Haskan B'Minoi V'Roish Beis of Mismoiloi. The Skan was to his right, and the Roish Beis Av was to his left. So we know who the Skan was. He's the Vice Kohen Gadol. Who's the Roish Beis Av? So Kohanim were the ones that did the Avoid in the Beis HaMikdash. But a Kohen couldn't wake up one morning and say, you know what, I'm going to go to the Beis HaMikdash. I want to do the Avoid. All the Kohanim were divided into Mishmaros. Every Mishmar served a particular week during the year. Now, sometimes the rotation was such that a mishmar served twice a year, sometimes three times a year, but the week itself was divided amongst the mishmaris. Now, each mishmar was subdivided into the 6 days of the week, not including Shabbos, and those subdivisions of the mishmar was what was known as the batei avos. So the kohanim were divided into mishmaris, the mishmaris were divided into batei avos. Now each beis av, which essentially is the kohanim that was serving on one particular day in the beis hamikdash, had a roish beis av. So he was the head of this beis av. So the skan stood to the right of the kohen gadol, and the roish beis av stood to his left. V'sham shnei seirim, and there were two goats. The kalpi hoisa sham, and there was a basket. Ubach shnei gerolos shel esh geroya hayu, and inside there were two gerolos. There were two lots, meaning two things that were made of eshkaraya, which is some type of wood. One of them said Lashem on it. The other one said Lazazel on it. Now, we're going to learn a lot more about the two Seirim, Sar Echad Lashem, Sar Echad Lazazel. We're going to learn more about the Goyrel, more about the Kalpi. In fact, the next Perek is called Taraf B'Kalpi. So we have a whole Perek that's going to get into all these halachas. But for now, we're keeping it super high level. So the Kohen Gadol just went from the area between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. He went to the Mizrach part of the Azara. He's to the north of the Mizbeach. The Skan is to his right. The Rosh Beis Av is to his left. Where is he going? He's going to this Kalpi. He's going to this basket. Inside the basket, there are two Geroles that are made up of wood. Vasan Ben Gamla shows up. Now, even though initially they had been made of wood, but Ben Gamla came. He made a donation to the Beis HaMikdash, and they were able to upgrade the Gerolas. Instead of them being made of wood, they were actually made of gold. And Chazal were very pleased with what he did. In fact, when they would say what Ben Gamla did, they would say it as if it was a very good thing. Ben Katan, on the note of people making donations to the Beis HaMikdash and Chazal being pleased with it, Ben Katan did something similar. Also, Yud Beis Dad L'Kir. He made 12 faucets for the Kir. Previously, there had only been two, and Ben Katan came and he made an upgrade. Instead of there being two, there was 12. Alfu asam mukhni l'kir. Another thing he did was he made a machine. Mukhni is miloshin machine. For the kir, shlayu, mayor of nesal b'lina. It's like this, the water of the kir would have become possible. And we'll see more about all this in the Gemara. Munda zamelech, again on this note, oisa kol yodois ha-kelem shal yom kippur shows up. He made all the handles of the kelem on yom kippur made of gold. So it sounds like the kelem themselves weren't necessarily made of gold, but he upgraded the handles of the kelem. Hilni imoy, Munda zamelech's mother, who was a queen, Hilni, also son Nivresh Shalzov, she made a candelabra that was made of gold, and it was placed al Pesach Heichel on the entranceway of the Heichel. The Gemara will explain that. Vafi, also son Tavla Shalzov, she also made a tablet that was made of gold. She parasha Soita Ksuva Leh, that the parasha of Soita was written on it for when a Soita had to go through the whole process, so they had to have the parasha of Soita. So she made the parasha of Soita on gold. Niknar, Nasu Nisam Lidal Soysov, Niknar donated doors. There were miracles that happened with his doors. We'll see what the miracles were in the Gemara. And all of these people mentioned in our Mishnah who made contributions to the Beis HaMikdash, they were all mentioned l'shvach. So we mentioned the next phase of the Avzara, of the Avodah, which is the Kohen Gadol is going to now go to the Kalpi where the two Geirolos are. We're going to have two goats that are going to be a major focal point of the Avodah on Yom Kippur. Sar Echad Hashem v'Sar Echad L'Azazel. Initially, these two lots, the one that said Hashem, the one that said L'Azazel, were made of Eshkeret, a certain type of wood. Ben Gabla upgraded it to gold. So we digress a little bit and we talk about different things that were done, different contributions that were made. So a lot going on in the Mishnah and a lot of small Gemaras, snippets, that are going to discuss this Mishnah. So the first thing that the Mishnah said was, the Kohen Gadol left the area of Bein Ha'ulam LeMizbeach and he went to the Mizrach part of the Azara and he was Letzofein HaMizbeach. He was to the north of the Mizbeach. Zok the Gemara, Midikom al-Safin ha-Mizbeach. But the fact that the Mishnah says he went to the north of the Mizbeach, M'chal ha-Mizbeach, Labat Safin Ka. You see from here that the Mizbeach itself wasn't in Safin. Now, it's not 100% clear what the Diyuk is. The way the Ritva explains the Gemara is that if the Mizbeach was in Safin, which it was according to many Tanan, that would mean that if you're Mizrach and you're Safin to the north of the Mizbeach, like you're boxing yourself into a very tight spot. And the Ritva says, why would you do that? We're going to do something, let's have Harchava Sadas. Like, why should the Kohen Gadol have to be in that little area that's between the northern wall of the Mizbeach and the wall of the Azara? Must be that the area between the Mizbeach and the wall wasn't so narrow after all. You know why? Because maybe the Tana, the Mishnah holds that the Mizbeach wasn't in Tzafen. So the entire Tzafen half of the Mizbeach actually, of the Azara actually had no Mizbeach in it, and as a result, it wasn't a problem. Zok the Gemara, again, mid, the Kamala Safin HaMizbeach, from the fact that we boxed the Kohen Gadol to do what he's about to do now into this area. Michal the Mizbeach, Labat Safin, it must be, it wasn't such a small area. Mani, who then must be the time of Mishra, Belezer ben Yaakov, the time we learned to the Brice, it's a final Lifnei Hashem. This is the Pasuk that was very much the topic of the beginning of yesterday's daf. The Shachat Oysoy al Yerech HaMizbeach, it's a final Lifnei Hashem. And Belezer ben Yaakov learned from this Pasuk, she yehet Safin, Kuloi Panoi, meaning Tzafayna Lifnei Hashem. The area of Tzafin is completely Lifnei Hashem. It was completely Panoi. It was vacant. There was no Mizbeach there. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. So there is a sheet of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov that says that the northern part of the Azara was completely Panoi. So if you're to the north of the Mizbeach, in the Mizrach part of the Azara, you're actually not in a tight spot at all. And as a result, everything stems. Freit the Gemara, how could you tell me the time of the Mishnah was Rebbe Lezer Yaakov? Reisha Rebbe Lezer Reb Shimon here. The Reisha, the Mishnah, was Rebbe Lezer Reb Shimon. The Reisha, the Mishnah, said that the Kohen Gadol did the smicha on his par, Beino Ulam Bala Mizbech. And we said if he did the smicha there, it means that he also did the shchita there, which means that area was Tzafin. So, Beino Ulam Bala Mizbech is Tzafin. What does that mean? That means the Mizbech is partially Tzafin. If Beino Ulam Bala Mizbech is Tzafin, that means the Mizbech has to be Tzafin. That means the Tana of the Mishnah is not Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. So how could the previous Mishnah be Rebbe Elazar Reb Shimon, who clearly holds that the Mizbeach was partially in Tzafin, and this Mishnah be Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, which whatever the exact Diyuk of the Gemara is, but the Gemara holds Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov's sheet is that the Mizbeach was Bechlal not in Tzafin. So the Gemara says, Kula Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. Really, the whole Tana is Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov. I mean, it's not a problem. This Mishnah is Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, the previous Mishnah is Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, and the previous Mishnah is also Rebbe Elazar Reb Shimon. It says it was Beino Ulam Vila Mizbeach. So you see the Mizbeach was partially in Tzafin. Tani, not beino ulam v'lamizbech, but rather ke beino ulam v'lamizbech. Not be, but ke beino ulam v'lamizbech. He was in an area that was parallel to the area beino ulam v'lamizbech. Meaning the mizbech itself was completely in dark. And he was standing in Tzafin. But he was in an area that was parallel on the Dorim side of the Azara to where Beinu Ulam Lamizbeach was. So really the Tana of both Mishnais, both the Mishnah Lamed Hey Amid Beis and the Mishnah Lamed Zayin Amid Aleph are of the opinion that the Mizbeach was not in Tzofen at all. It was completely in Dorim. I didn't the Mishnah say that the Shechita of the Par was done Beinu Ulam Lamizbeach, and not literally Beinu Ulam Lamizbeach, because it was done in Tzofen, and it was more Mizbeach in Tzofen. It's Kibbein Ulam Lamizbeach. Mishnah said, Askan bi yamin v'reish b'yisav b'smoyle. So as the Kohen Gadol was walking through the Azara, so he had an entourage. He had the skan to his right. He had the reish b'yisav to his left. He talked to him, I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda said, I'm halich limin rabbi. If somebody walks to the right side of his Rebbe, he's a boor. He's a leidegeyer. A boor. Rashi says a boor is even less than an amaretz. Truth is, it's mefurish in the Mishnah Novus. Lo yam aretz chasid, v'lo boor yirei chet. Amaretz can't be a chasid. Chasidus is a madrega. A boor can't even be a yarechei. In our context, the boor Rashi says, afilu b'derech eretz ein ebaki. Meaning, not only does he know halacha, but he doesn't even know derech eretz. He doesn't even know how to conduct himself properly. The point is, a person's not supposed to walk to the right of his Rebbe. Freik to Gemara, Rav Yehuda da Amir said that? You're not allowed to walk to the right side of your Rebbe. When the Kohen Gadol was walking, the skan was to his right, and the Reish Bezav was to his left. The kash is from the skan. The skan is to his right. Has he let it go to his right? The Kohen Gadol is the Rebbe, quote unquote, of the skan. So has he let it be to his right? If three people are walking together in the road, the Rabbi Emsa, the Rebbe should be in the middle. Gadol b'minoy. The next chashav person should be to his right. The katan b'smoyloi, and the least chashav should be to his left. And this is what we find when the three Malachi Ashars came to Avram Avinu. Michael, he was the most chashiv. Michael is the malach of Klal Yisrael. Every medina, every nation has a malach. The malach of the Jewish nation is Michael. Michael is Miloshin Mikael. Like, literally, he's on that level. So Michael was Be'emza, Gavriel Be'eminoi, the Rafael Be'smoila. So you have a Mishnah and a Braisa. The scan was to the right of the Kohen Gadol. I thought if you walk to the right of your Rebbe, you're Reichet. Gavriel is walking to the right of Michael. Michael is on the higher Madriga. So how's Gabriel allowed to be to his right? So the Gemara Tanguma, Rav Shmuel Bar Papa, Kamei Rav Ad. This Rav Shmuel Bar Papa explained it in the presence of Rav Ad. He said, Kadeshi is Kasa boy Rabbi. Rav Yehuda said, Hamahalach Limin Rabbi Rezabu. If you walk to the right of your Rebbe, that's not okay. However, if you walk a little to the right, but behind the Rebbe, that's okay. I mean, if you walk behind your Rebbe to your right, that's what the Mishnah, and that's what the Braisa was referring to. So Rav Yehuda meant you're parallel to your Rebbe, you're literally walking step to step with him to his right. What the Mishnah and the Braisa says, which implies that it is okay for a person to be to the right of his Rebbe, it means Kendeshi is Kasabai, you're flanking him, like you're protecting him. That's something you're allowed to do. Straight to Gemara, Vatanya, but we learned in the Braisa, Hamahalich Keneged Rabbi, Harei Zabor. If a person walks in front of his Rebbe, he's also a bor. Achere Rabbi, if you walk behind your Rebbe, Harei Zemigasei Aruach. That's already an issue of gaiva. So that's not also not good. But you can't walk to your right, so you can tell me, oh, he was behind him. Behind him is also not okay. Harez mi gasei aruach. So you're stuck between bor and gasei aruach. So what's going on here? So the Gemara says, the mitzadeit at studi. It's talking about where you weren't mamish tiz, right? You also weren't behind him. Meaning, when are you a bor when you're literally tiz, right? When are you migasei aruach when you're directly behind him? Both of those are not okay. But if you're to his right, but on the side, but also a little bit behind him, that's when it's okay. That's what our Mishnah is referring to. That's what the Braisa means when it says Shloisha Shloim Mahalchem Baderech Harav Beemtza Galda Biyaminoi. And that's what it means when the Malachi Asharis came to Avram Avinu that Michal was Beemtza, Gabriel was Biyaminoi. That means he wasn't literally to his right. He also wasn't behind him. He was to his right, a shtickle behind him. The Mitzade that's to the Kalfi Hoy Sasham Ubashne Gairolis. So there was a Kalfi, and inside the Kalfi there were two Gairolis. Now the pasuk that describes the Gairolis is, of course, in Perek Tezai in Parshas Achrimois, the Nosan Aharin Al Shnei Asirim Goyrolois, Goyrol Echod Hashem, the Goyrol Echod Lazaza. Zok to Gemar, the Nosan Aharin Al Shnei Asirim Goyrolois, Goyrolois shall call Dover. The Goyrolois can be made of anything. Yachol Yitin Shnaim Azav Shnaim Azeh. Now you would think from the simple reading of the Pasuk, you should put two Goyrolois on each one of the Seirim. The Pasuk says, the Nosan Aharin Al Shnei Asirim Goyrolois. So if you would stop there, it would certainly sound like the two Seirim should each have Gairolis. One Sar should have Gairolis, and the other Sar should have Gairolis. Talmud Loimar, that's true. It's certainly mashma that way from the first part of the Pasuk. But the Pasuk continues, and it says, Gairol Echad Lashem, V'goyrol echad la'azazel. Ein kan la'shem el goyrol echad ein kan la'azazel el echad. Meaning one on each one. You're right. V'nos an aharon al shnei asirim goyrol. Sounds like each one should have two. But then the pasuk continues. Goyrol echad la'shem, goyrol echad la'azazel. Which teaches me each one should have one. Yochel yitin al shel shem v'shel azazel alzeh. V'shel shem v'shel azazel alzeh. You would think that maybe really what you're supposed to do is each one is supposed to have two. But goyrol echad la'shem and goyrol echad la'azazel doesn't mean one goyrol on the sar la'shem and one goyrol on the sar la'azazel. Maybe that's just the description of the two goyrolis. One should be a la'shem goyrol, one should be la'azazel goyrol. But maybe the two goyrolis should go on each one of the two seirim. Tamad loyim goyrol echad la'shem ein kan la'shem ala echad ve'ein kan la'azazel goyrol echad la'shem. There's only going to be one la'shem. There's only going to be one la'azazel. So that's not true. You can't have two Lashems. You can't have two Gerolos. Two Lazazels. So you have two Seirim. There's only one Lashem. There's only one Lazazel. Bal Karcha, what it means is, you put one on one and you put one on the other. Imkei ma tam alayim Gerolos. So why did the Pasuk say, V'nasa naharin al shnei ha-seirim Gerolos? It should have just said, V'nasa naharin al shnei ha-seirim Gerol lachad Lashem Gerol lachad Lazazel. Why did it say Gerolos? It threw us for a loop. We have a whole Gemara here to try to explain what that means, because it sounds a little bit like each soil should have girls. Now you tell me, no, each one has one. So just say, each one should have one. Why are we even using this misleading word of girls? So the Gemara says, because girls teaches me something. She used shoven. The two girls had to be the same. Can't make one of gold, one of silver. One big, one small. I mean, you would have thought maybe the one Hashem should be more chashev. The one Lazazel. We'll see next week about what Lazazel is. Shainemo, we're going to see what Lazazel is. So why would you equate the Lashem and Lazazel? You would think maybe they should be different. That's the chiddush, that the two Geirolos had to be the same. We learn from Geirolos, we put them together. Geirolos shall call dov. The Braisa said that the Geirolos can be made of anything. Pshita, why would you think not? It's a Geirol. Why would you think it could be made of anything other than anything? Like, what can't it be made of? The tzitz was written on a tablet, and that tablet was made of gold. So Yochel Avzekin, I would think this is the same thing, because the tzitz had Hashem's name, Kodesh Lashem. So you would have thought that maybe the goyrol that says Lashem should also have to be written on gold. Tamud Loimer, goyrol, goyrol riba. It says goyrol lechol Hashem and goyrol lechol Azazel. It says the word goyrol again, tzim tzveit nimo, to teach me that you can make it of anything. Meaning, riba shal zayis, riba shal egois, riba shal eshkaraya, whether it's olive wood, nut wood, eshkaraya wood, doesn't matter what kind of wood it is, everything is going to be okay. Ben katan osa shneim osa dadlakir. So again, just to follow the digression of the sugya, the Mishnah mentioned that the Kohen Gadol is now going to get involved in the kalpi that has two goyrolis, one's Lashem, one's Lazazel. The goyrol can be made of anything. The Braisa says, goyrol, goyrol, riba, doesn't matter. Used to be made of eshkaraya, that's a certain type of wood. For whatever reason, that's what was chosen. And then Ben Gamla came, and he upgraded it, and he made it out of gold. So on that note, we're going to mention other contributions that people made, where again, we learned in a braisa. So what was the first one mentioned in the Mishnah? Ben Kat, also Yud Beis Dad Lakir. Ben Katin made 12 spigots for the kir. Because previously there were only two. And he went ahead and he made 12. V'afu asa muchni l'kir. He also made a muchni for the kir. So Ben Katin came and he renovated the kir. The kir was one of the kerem of the Beis HaMikdash. The purpose of the kir was, water came out of it. That's where the kohanim were mekadesh yodav v'raglav before they did the avodah, after they went to the bathroom. Right? So the kohen who did the avodah had to first be mekadesh Yadavarag. Very big deal. A coin that does the avoida without being Mekadosh Yadavaraglov, the avoid is possible. Very, very bad. So Kohen Gadol used to do it 10 times on Yom Kippur, but that was the purpose of the kir. It was to be Mekadosh Yadavarag. Now, historically, there were two spigots on the kir. He came and he made 12. So what was the purpose of 12? It's like this, the 12 Kohanim that were involved in the Korban Tamid, they would be able to be Mekadesh, Yodeyem, Viraglem, Vivasachas, all at the same time. I mean, it didn't have to be the same time. You could have a single file line, let everyone double file because they have two spigots, and let everybody line up and do it that way. But it was definitely a convenience, and it was considered a chashev thing. The Chazal were very pleased with what he had gone and he had did. Now the truth is, the Gemara earlier in the Masechta said, weren't there 13 Kohanim? We had it in the Pious Hasheni. There were 13 Kohanim that were involved in the Karmat Talmud. So Why is it only 12? Because one of them was the Shoichet. And Shechita Lav Avoyde, he was Ksheir Bizar, so he didn't have to be Mekadosh Yad Avaragov. That's why it's only 2. Zok to Gemara, Tana, we learned in a Braisa, Shachris bin Miluoy. Mekadesh Yad Avaraglov Min HaElyon. In the morning, when the kir was full, the Kehanim would be Mekadesh Yad Avaraglov from the upper spigot. Arvis in the evening, Be'iridasai, when the water level was already lower, Mekadesh Yad Avaraglov Min HaTachton from the lower one. So this part of the Braisa is seemingly describing the way it used to be, when there were only 2, before it was 12. When it was only 2, one was a little higher, one was a little bit lower. So when the water was higher, you were able to take from higher. But when the water level was lower, so if you use the spigot on top, you're not going to get any water. So you had to use the lower one. Regardless, Ben Katan changed all that, and instead of there only being 2, it ended up being 12. So that was the first invention, the first chiddush that he made for the kir. But there was a second one. V'af hu asa muchni l'kir. He also made a muchni l'kir, and the purpose, as the Mishnah was, shelo yiyu meimav nefsalim b'lina. Like this, the water wouldn't be possible b'lina. So what does lina mean? So lina is a general concept in kachin. This is kachin 101, where there are certain things that if they stay overnight, they become possible. So for example, dam of a carbon. You do the shechita. Once you do the kabbalah, the dam becomes kaddish. You have to do the zrika that day. If you wait until tomorrow, the dam stayed up overnight, so to speak. Dam nifsel b'shkia sachama. It's the gemara b'sach tizvachim. At that point, you won't be able to do the zrika anymore. The same is true for the basar. Basar has a certain time within when it has to be eaten. The emurim have to be burnt on the mizbech. Once that time passes, and you didn't do the haktar, you didn't do the achil, you didn't do the zrika, or whatever exactly the avoide is, it becomes possible. Belina. The water of the kir also became possible belina. The reason is because the kir was a klisharis. So the klisharis was mekadesh the mayim. And if the mayim would hang around overnight, it would be possible you wouldn't have to use the water the next day. So Ben Katan sat, and apparently he was creative, and he came up with a solution so that we shouldn't have a problem that the water of the kir becomes possible belina every single night. I mean, the alternative option would be to empty out the water. But it's like a little disrespectful because the water's kachim, so we don't want to simply do that. It'd be better if we can save the kachim, even though it's only water. But if we could save it, that would be a good thing. So he came up with a chap. He made a muchni lakir. My muchni, what was it? Amar Abaya Gilgula, Tava Meshakale. It was a wheel. So they used to wheel the kir. It would literally be submerged underground every single night. Being that it was underground, it didn't become possible in it. You have to know why not. So it seems it was submerged into a natural spring of water, connected with that water, but whatever the lumbus is, the concept, the patent, literally was that he would submerge it on the water like this. We could prevent it from being possible. So what would Ben Katan's 2 contributions to the kir? Number one, all the kehanim involved in the carbon tamech shachar were able to be mekadesh yodav araglav at the same time. Number two, you don't have to worry about the mayim becoming possible belina. The Mishnah said, "Mumbas amelach asa you call yodois kalim shel yom kippur shel zav." So we had Ben Gamla's contribution, Ben Katan's contribution, that was the kiyar, and now we have Munbaz HaMelech. So Munbaz was a king, very wealthy, and what he did was he upgraded the handles of all the kalim that were used on Yom Kippur. It's like this, they should be zav. It's interesting. On the one hand, we find that we stay away from gold on Yom Kippur. Lefnai v'lefnim, in kategor nasa sanegor. Here we're upgrading the handles of the kalim to gold. Fake the gemara, navdinu lididu dizav. If Munbaz HaMelech was so wealthy and he was trying to be mechal, why did he only upgrade the handles? Should have upgraded the kalim as well. Meaning, it's very nice what Munbaz HaMelech did, but at the same time, you're doing so good, do better. Right, it sounds like there must have been a cheshvin. Amar Abaya, Abaya said, b'yodei sakinim. Because he only upgraded the knives. Now, you can't have a knife made of gold. The blade can't be made of gold. The handle could be made of gold, but the blade is gold. It's just not going to cut. It's not going to cut right. It's not going to be good. Meisvei. So, from the mission, you could say that. But we have a braisa that adds a little bit of language. Afhu us, referring to Munbaz HaMelech, he made kani kalim, the stands of the kalim, the oignei kalim, and the rims of the kalim, the yodos kalim, and the handles of the kalim, the yodos sakinim, and the yodos of the sakinim, shiyem hakipurim shows up, all of gold. Now, this braisa says it wasn't only the yodos of the sakinim. It says clearly yodos kalim as well. So, obviously, kalim is not sakinim. Meaning, the mission just said yodos kalim. So, you'll tell me, yodos kalim means the sakin. He only got involved in the knives. That's why he only did the handling. Didn't do the knife itself. But the Braisa says Yodis Kalim and Yodis Sakinim. In other words, Yodis Kalim is not Yodis Sakinim. So those Kalim, which is not a Sakin, because the next thing mentioned the Braisa is like, how can you make the Kalim of gold? So the Gemara says, Abaya addressed this as well. Targuma Abaya, Bekatato Denargi Vechatzini. Those other Kalim were not the Sakin, but similar to Sakin. They were the cleavers, the hackers, the axes, things that we used to chop meat. He only, for whatever reason, got involved in the sakin and the hakers, but the other kalim, that he didn't touch. So because he didn't touch those, so it wasn't a geya, really, to make the keli itself out of gold, because you can't make something that you're using to cut meat out of gold. Therefore, he only upgraded. Had he upgraded all the kalim, then you're right, he probably would have done the kalim, but he didn't upgrade all the kalim. That's why he didn't do it. Hilni imoy asasan nivresha shows up. So we mentioned what Mumma Zamelech did. We mentioned what Hilni Hamalka did. So what she did was two things. Number one, she made a nivresha shows up. She made a candelabra that was made of gold and was placed at the entranceway of the Heichotana. What was the purpose of it? When the sun would rise in the morning, you would see glittering coming from the candelabra. The reflection of the sun would project off the candelabra. Everybody knew that it was time to say Kriyishma. Now it's mashma, everybody in the Beis HaMikdash, someone says Kriyishma in the morning, at the same time as the Anshei Mishmer, the Kehanim, the Anshei Maimon, or at the same time as the Yisraelim, whose job it was to be in the Beis HaMikdash every morning while the Kabbarnas were brought. You're not Yotzim, Anshei Mishmer Mashkimin, because the Anshei Mishmer used to say Kriyishma too early, and the Anshei Maimon used to say it too late. So this is discussed in Masechtas Talmid, not for now, but we just need to know this fact. The Anshei Mishmer used to say Kriyishma Farzman Kriyishma, and the Anshei Maimon used to say it Nuchzman Kriyishma. So you have this contraption, this patent, so that you'll know when Zman Kriyishma is. No one in the Beis HaMikdash is keeping Zman Kriyishma. Either you're saying it early or you're saying it too late. So who's in the gay? I'm Rabbi Lashnar Amad Yerushalayim. Who's in the gay? You're in Yerushalayim. We're able to see it. What if somebody's in Dazar? You're not from Anshei Mishmer. Now, you're right. Anshei Mishmer, Anshei Maimon. Most people that spent their 9 to 5 in the Beis HaMikdash, this was not Negeya. But there were people who was Negeya that were able to see it, and that's what it was made for. So this is the first thing that Hilni Amalka made. The second thing she did was V'afi Asasa Tafla. She made a tablet, and on this tablet, the parsha of the Soita was written. So the Torah says in Parshas Nasai, Soita, we're not sure if she was Mezana, she wasn't Mezana. So there's a supernatural way of determining what exactly she happened. One of the things that involved was you had to have the parsha of Soita written down, and you had to do a Mechikas Hashem, and that's the way it happened. So Hilni Hamalka made a tavla, and this tavla was made of gold. So the Gemara says, Shamed mina koisim megillah tinek l'slamed. But you see from here that you're allowed to write one parsha in the Torah. It's really machlokes and chas, whether you're allowed to write one parsha in the Torah. Could you write a parsha or not? You see, clearly you could write a parsha in the Torah. I'm Reish Lakish from Rabbi Yanai. So Reish Lakish said the name Rabbi Yanai, but Aleph Beis. No, they didn't really write the entire parsha, but rather they wrote the Rosh HaTevis of all the psukim of the parsha. This wasn't a real parsha Saita. It was the Rosh HaTevis of the parsha of Saita. Meisvek, Shu Kaisev, Rayev, Kaisev, Masha, Kaisev, Tavlo. When they would write, they would see, look at the tavla. It's like this, he would know how to write the Megillah. So doesn't it sound like that this tavla was real? I mean, what was the purpose of this tavla? The purpose of this tavla was to use it as a source. It's like this, that the Kohen has to write the Parash of Soita, because a Soita is in the Beis HaMikdash now, so he doesn't have to take out a Sefer Torah, he doesn't have to remember it Balpeh. You can look at the tavla, and by looking at the tavla, you're going to know what to do. So, Kishu Kosev, Roya V'Kosev, Masha Kosev B'Tavla. It sounds like he would write exactly what it said on the tavla. I mean, it sounds like it was written on the tavla. I thought you're not allowed to write a Parash. I thought it was written by Rosh HaTevis. So the Gemara says, Emaroyah v'koysev k'mashah kasa b'tavla. Didn't write exactly word for word verbatim, but like it said on the tavla, Meisvek shu koysev roya v'koysev mashah kasa b'tavla, u'mah kasa b'tavla. Oh, here we have a rice that talks a little bit more. Im shachad ish oysach, then loy shachad, im sotis, im loy sotis. Yeah, but so these are words. This is not just Rosh HaTevis. So the Gemara hasam b'sei rugin. Even there, it wasn't complete psukim. Meaning, Rashi, in loy shachad v'achar of Rosh HaTevis at Seif HaMikro. Meaning, the Braisa says that the first few words of the Pasuk would be written out, but then the rest would be Rosh HaTevis. Point is, you have no raya from the fact that this tavlo, exactly, what was the purpose of the tavlo? For the coin that had to write the Parsha Soit in the event that the Soit came, you should be able to use this as a point of reference. But you have no makar that he would actually write the full Parsha. Maybe there was Rosh HaTevis, or maybe the first few words of the Pasuk were written, but the balance of it, for sure, was merely Rosh HaTevis. Either way, we're going to stop here. But just to recap what the Mishnah did, so the Mishnah was discussing the sequence of the Avoid of Yom Kippur. We came to the Shnei Goyrolois for the epic Goyrol which would determine which sar goes Lashem, which sar went Lazazel. Those gerolos were able to be made out of anything. Historically, they were made of Eshkaroya wood, but then Ben Gamla came and he made a tremendous donation to the Beis HaMikdash and they were able to upgrade it to gold. Chazal were very pleased with it. So we mention now other examples of where there were upgrades that were made. We mentioned Ben Katan, who made big contributions for the Kiyur. Number one, 12 spigots instead of two. Like this, all the Kehanim involved in the Karmat Tamid could do Kiddush Yidayim Raglayim at the same time. Additionally, he made a Muchni. He made a machine. It's like this, the water of the Kiyur wouldn't be possible in. It would be submerged on the ground overnight. We mentioned Munbaz HaMelech, who took the handles of all the knives and the axes that were used inside the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur, and he made them gold. And then Hilni Hamalka, who was Munbaz HaMelech's mother, who, number one, made a candelabra, which was at the entrance where the Hechel, like this, people would know when the Zman Kriya Shema is, not for the Anshi Maimed Anshi Mishma, because they didn't oblige with Zman Kriya Shema anyway. But everybody else, like this, they would know. Initially, she made a tavla that had the parash of Saita written in on gold. It's like this, if a Saita came, the Kohen had to write the parash of Saita, the Kohen would be able to refer to the tavla.